I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Get deeper insights on the news from inside sources.
Last week, the news broke that Russia had arrested a credentialed Wall Street Journal reporter, charged him with spying. In a rare U.S.-Russia phone call today, Secretary Blinken urged Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov to release the reporter during this very tense period. What are the chances of that? Probably not exceptionally great. Someone who understands this in a very real way, what it means to be a journalist targeted by the Russian government and the seriousness of an espionage charge is Andrew Nagorsky. And of course, Andrew Nagorsky is an award-winning journalist, author who spent more than three decades as a foreign correspondent and editor for Newsweek. In 1982, you may remember, he gained international notoriety when the Soviet government, angry about his enterprising reporting, expelled him from the country. And we're really thrilled to have Andrew joining us on the line. And he also has a new book out that we'll come back to about saving Freud, which is just fascinating. The rescuers who brought Freud to freedom during a really crucial period. And Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Boyd.
So give us kind of the lay of the land as you look at that as someone who's experienced it. Why don't we start with your experience and then let's apply it to the news of the day?
Sure. I went to Moscow as a young reporter in 1981 for Newsweek magazine. And when you went to Moscow in those days, you knew very well that there were various traps, there were various pitfalls that you might fall into. There's things you could try to avoid, or things you had no control over. Moscow accredited Western journalists, they allowed them to work there, but there were all sorts of procedures. You had to be credentialed. You had to, if you traveled outside of Moscow, you had to let the Foreign Ministry Press Department know where you were going. And they had various ways of putting pressure on you if they didn't like what you were reporting. Mm. And I immediately got into a sense that they were angry with me for various reports I did about unrest in the Baltic states when things were very repressed, but there were undercurrents of dissent already, food shortages, Kremlin intrigue. At that time, the leader was Leonid Brezhnev, and he was clearly on his way out, and there were all sorts of infighting. And then I went to Tajikistan in Central Asia and talked to young Muslims about their war in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. All these things clearly upset them, and they would make it very obvious by, for instance, increasing the KGB tails on me so that it was very visible. And the idea was to intimidate me, but more importantly, to intimidate Soviets who wanted to interact with me, mm-hmm. and saying, this guy's dangerous. And you knew that at a certain point, if they got angry enough, they might kick you out. But in those days, you thought that was probably the worst that would happen, although there was always that possibility that they might accuse you of spying, which is an awful accusation in the sense that whatever you say, some people may believe some part of it. But because as a journalist, you do all these things that say it could be interpreted as spying. You're looking for information. You're talking to people. You're observing. But they clearly knew I was not a spy. They clearly know that Evan Gershkovich, the Wall Street Journal correspondent who they just picked up and accused of spying, is not a spy, but they're doing it for other reasons.
Yeah, one of the things that you have said before is that that journalism is always at the heart of these confrontations, that in Russia it's always kind of been that same thing, that it's about that intimidation of the reporter, of all other foreign reporters, of the Russian reporters, and then of anyone inside of Russia who might be willing to talk to you about what's going on. Intimidation and journalism always seem to be at the heart of these episodes.
Yes, of course. In the Soviet times, Soviet journalism was completely censored control, but you did let in the foreign reporters, and they wanted to have it both ways. They wanted to say, look, we're open to other people reporting on us, but they wanted to make sure that that reporting didn't get too uncomfortable for them. And they maintained kind of the myths and lies of the of what was then the Soviet system and now what is the Russian system under Putin. And we've come full circle on that. They allowed some reporters like Gershkovich to be there. He was accredited, all that. And yet, it's when there are tensions in the U.S.-Russian relationship, as there are now, they're an easy target. Especially someone like Gershkovich, who speaks good Russian. Mm-hmm. His parents came from Russia and was getting around, so he's clearly picking up things. The more a reporter is comfortable in that society and linguistically, the more they dislike him. They like people who are as ignorant as possible or as unobservant as possible. So if they're gonna target someone to make a point, either sometimes it is to take a hostage to exchange for someone who our side may have picked up as a KGB or what now is now called a FSB spy, or it just to intimidate other reporters, because that always sends the message to others, look, anything you do, any reporting that's mildly critical, you may end up with the same fate. So you pick the people who do speak the language, who are doing good work. In a way, it's a bit badge of honor to be targeted, but it's not a badge of honor you want to get.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems to me that in the Putin era in particular, where everything has sort of escalated, obviously this immediate charge of espionage. We know there's been a lot more of, you know, assassinations of public figures, including journalists.
Including journalists, yes, absolutely. Russian journalists particularly. One American journalist was assassinated a few years ago, but mostly Russian journalists, yes.
Yeah, and so as you look at that, give us a sense, again, what is the feeling of that on one hand, and two, what does that tell us, or what should we be projecting forward or watching for as we continue to march forward?
Well, I think the calculations are not simply the bilateral calculations. Mm. And it also, what does this show about Putin and his regime? The people who defend Putin, say, are the regime claims, oh, we have all this popular support. Oh, we've had elections and he gets all, you know, this huge percentage of the vote. Well, you know, again, that's by intimidation. If you're a Russian and you're asked, are you for Putin or against? Even if you're saying you're told this is anonymous, chances are you're not going to believe that. And it shows that this regime, for all its bluster and everything, is very insecure. And it knows that for all the lies they're putting out as justification for their invasion of Ukraine, that this has been a disaster. And what they're doing there is a disaster for Ukraine, first of all, but for Russia itself. Mm. And therefore, the more there is actual reporting on the real state of play, the worse off they are. The more exposed they are to the obvious lies that they're putting out. So I think it's going to be. It depends. Again, I can't say for sure whether they have a particular target in mind, whether there's somebody they want to get out of the U.S. But at a minimum, they want to squeeze the remaining journalists as much as possible.
Yeah, so important in terms of how they're trying to frame all of that. And we'll continue to watch that, of course, and hope that everything will move swiftly, obviously, for Evan Gershkovich, for his freedom and his safety. We want him as quickly as possible. And then also looking at the dynamics, as you just described, Andrew, in terms of what pressure they're trying to assert, what potential swaps they may be looking for in terms of trades, in terms of important players. Anything else that you're kind of watching, having lived this to a degree, that you kind of see that maybe are under the surface of all of this?
Well, of course, the news yesterday that another prominent blogger who was very pro-Ukraine war was killed by a bomb in St. Petersburg. This is the second such case. There was a car bombing back in, I think, October of some, again, another figure who was in this very militant, let's just take Ukraine, wipe out all opposition, shows that there is either the Ukrainian intelligence services are beginning to organize actions in Russia to target people like this, or there could be also factions within Russia who are doing this. In Russia, nothing is ever 100% clear, but it shows that it's going to fuel the paranoia of this regime further, because this regime is simply, they invaded Ukraine. All their official justifications were nonsense. They thought they would have a quick victory, and this would help cement their hold on power, hold on all the wealth and corruption that they control. Now a lot of that is slipping away.
Right.
So, I mean, this is going to be incredibly important to watch, see if there's more stuff happening, not only in Ukraine, but in Russia itself.
Yeah, great. Fantastic insight. Andrew Nagorsky, of course, award-winning journalist and author of Saving Freud, the rescuers who brought him to freedom. And Andrew, I want to have you come back, because just doing a small dive on your book, that looks like just absolutely riveting in terms of how that all played out with Sigmund Freud and him being moved out of Austria there before Hitler. Just really interesting stuff. But always appreciate your deep dive perspective, especially in this case. And we'll continue to watch that and hope to have you back soon.
Thank you. I'd be glad to come back anytime.
All right. Again, that's Andrew Nagorsky. He knows what it's like to be expelled from Russia as a journalist. And I think he hit the most important thing. Journalism is always going to be at the heart of the confrontation when it comes to Russia. We'll step aside for some bottom of the hour news. When we come back, more Inside Sources on KSL News Radio. Stick around.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.